Good morning. My name is Allie, and I will be introducing our speaker for this morning. A little fun facts. Our speaker was born in 1961.
68. Don't make me that old. I'm not that old. 68.
Okay. All right. He was born in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, and Puerto Rico. I'm Puerto Rican, Allie. I was born in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Not Orlando. I lived in Orlando, okay. But I was born in Puerto Rico. How did you not know that? You're my daughter.
Okay, I got it. All right. He was raised by missionaries in Central America.
That's true. That part's true, yes.
Thank you. All right, Okay. His highest degree is a high school diploma.
What? I have a master's degree in divinity. What have you written? What's going on?
Is that why you do what you do? Okay, I got it, okay. He became a U.S. citizen in the fall.
No, I'm Puerto Rican. Puerto Rico's part of the U.S.
Okay, so like...
We're born citizens. The United States of America. So, I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Okay. Our speaker...
Of the United States of America. And to the Republic.
Okay. Our speaker's life was mostly dull and routine and drab and cloudy and in grayscale. Until April 2 of 2000, a radiant and joyous day. The day of my birth.
No, yes. No, we were pretty happy before you. Huh? We had money. We took naps. We went on trips.
Okay. Can I finish this? Thank you.
Just be accurate.
Thank you. All right. Samuel Leonor, our speaker, is a chaplain at La Sierra University over there. I have known the speaker for quite a while now, around 18 years, in fact, because he's my dad. He's loving and caring and immensely attentive to my education. He makes sure I am informed about current events. He makes sure I understand taxes. And he makes sure I work hard on my music, among many other things. Beyond his efforts as my father, he works as a teacher and a pastor, along with his duties as a chaplain. He holds a master's in divinity, as we heard. Okay. He travels the world, spreading the gospel and reaching out to people's hearts. He has an incredible ability to make you laugh, make you cry, and maybe even both at the same time. He does all of this while professing the word of God and doing the work of the Great Commission. I am proud to claim him my father in good times and in bad times. He encourages me to grow in my faith and comprehension of the Bible. He is a wonderful father and an even better speaker. Please join me in welcoming our speaker, Pastor Sam Leonor.
Principal Lancaster, Madam Class President, class officers, family, friends, visitors, church members who came here not knowing today was this, faculty and staff, parents, where are my parents? I see your hands. Was it not just yesterday that they handed us these little scraps of flesh and we held them and we loved them? Was it not just a blink ago we dropped them off at kindergarten? Can you believe it? I can't. Class of 2018, what an honor to speak today at your baccalaureate. I am, isn't that how you say it, Mr. Pindle? You're the three-syllable word man. Last night you dropped a bunch. I couldn't even write them. Juxtaposition, metaphorical. It's pronounced baccalaureate. No one knows how to pronounce this. It is my habit to follow the advice of one of my mentors, dear class, who said, keep all graduation sermons, speeches, etc., short and sweet. For the last 20 years, as I've spoken for baccalaureates and commencement events here, I have given the class a sweet, and then I moved on to a short short, short sermon. Today is no different. Today, the sweet part is coming. Is it already in their hands? No, it's coming. By the lovely, my spouse, Shelley, who is now bringing it. Oh, they already have it. Never mind. I apologize. I didn't pay attention. It is a Sour Patch watermelon flavor, not the vegan variety, so it's probably made from pig skins and other things you're not supposed to be eating. But please try to enjoy it, as I have no connection to my sermon from the Sour Patch watermelon non-vegan thing. So that's the sweet part. And now to the short part. You ready? Here it is. Dearest class of 2018, I'm writing you this message in the form of a letter. I want you to hear it written to you by a parent who loves you, a pastor who cares about you, and a member of the human race, which you're a part of. I also thought it'd be easier to get through it this way, given that I'm very emotional this weekend, and apparently the older I get, the weepier I become, which is not cool, but it is what it is, LOL. I wrote that here. I really like your class aim. I usually make fun of aims and mottos, things like the past is behind us, the future lies ahead, a statement of the obvious. With the robes of the past, we will ring the bells of the future. That's just silly. One class actually had this as their aim or motto. I can't remember. We're the greatest class ever. One class chose cooperate and graduate, which rhymes, but it's really not something you want to live your life by. But yours is so good, which reveals that you know what an aim and a motto is, probably because you had an English teacher as your sponsor. It is so good, your aim especially, to be a light when all other lights go out. And the Bible text you chose to go with it is so important. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen to a couple of thoughts on that text. And I know this part will sound like a sermon type thing, but it's still a letter. It's still a letter. This passage is from the Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon that Jesus preached as he was starting his ministry. And he's saying some really amazing things. Some call this sermon the charter for the reestablishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the sermon opens with, you are blessed. You who mourn, you who are poor in spirit, you who are merciful, you who are peacemakers, you who are persecuted, you are blessed. God is with you and God is on your side. God loves you. You who have been passed over, you who think you are not worth much, you who have been forgotten, discarded, you who didn't think that God knew you existed anymore, you are blessed. You are loved. God is with you. God is on your side. And then these words that come from your aim. You are the salt of the earth first, but you chose these words. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others. Jesus didn't say you should be a light. Are you with me? Jesus didn't say I came to give you ways that you can become a light to the world. Jesus didn't say, I came to announce ways that you aren't the light and how you should become the light. Jesus doesn't come announcing guilt and more burdens for them. He brings an empowering declaration about who they already are. Someone say amen in this place today. Dear class of 2018, there will be days when you will hear voices that bring guilt and shame and profound sense of who you are not. Voices that will say, you're not the light because you're not holy enough, because you don't do enough, because you have doubts, because of the mistakes you've made in your past. I really couldn't use you to be the light in the world because of who you are right now. Just to be clear, do you know who else is in the audience listening to these words? Not just the people, the crowd. There's also people who will become Jesus' disciples, the closest people to him. People who Jesus will later call in Matthew 15, and I'm telling you where it's found because I know you're going to want to look it up. In Matthew 15, Jesus will call these people dull. Jesus called someone dull? Yes, he did. Later in Acts 4, these people are going to be described as being unschooled, ordinary. They're thieves. They're tax collectors. They're impulsive, not reliable. They're so egotistical. Peter's all those things, impulsive, egotistical. They have questionable past, Mary Magdalene. All these things that sometimes remind me of myself. Jesus says to these people, are you ready? You are the plan. I know what you're like. I know your past. I know what you've done. I know your mistakes. I know what you're good at. I know what you're not good at. I love you. You're the plan. You're the light of the world. Not you should become the light of the world. You already are the light of the world. Isn't that something? And imagine what they're all saying. I really like this Jesus guy. I like what he's saying. He's amazing. I wonder how he's going to do all these things, this establishment of the kingdom of God on the planet again. I wonder how he's going to do it. And then they hear Jesus say, you're the plan. You're the plan. You're the plan to go into a cynical world and proclaim love. A world that's divided and polarized and angry and building barriers. And you're the plan to be a light in that world, to proclaim love. You're the plan to go into the world that's used to exploiting everything, to proclaim the sacredness of everything that God has made, to proclaim the sacredness of your bodies, our resources. We are the most destructive economic culture ever that has existed on the planet Earth. And you are the light. You already are the light. Jesus is saying you're going to this dark place to say you can't do that with the resources, with people. You're the light. You're the light going into a world that celebrates celebrity for no reason at all. You're going into the world to proclaim character, to seek to be admired, not admirable, to cultivate virtue into a world that's violent, to proclaim peace into a world that's teaching you to be all about yourself and not about each other. A world that's proclaiming rampant individualism instead of the priority of community. You're going into that world. You are the light. You're not becoming the light. There's not steps you're going to follow to be the light. You are already the light. And that's the message from the text that you chose. And now, 3 points I want to make. One, as your parent and all your parents. Two, as a pastor. And three, as a pastor again. Because I didn't have a third thing. One, you're the light. You are the light. Can you remember that? When you're in college next year, or when you spend the next 6 months trying to figure out what to do with your life, looking for a job and you can't find anything except for something maybe in one of those fast food places or waving a sign somewhere about the fast food place. Or maybe you make it immediately. You climb the ladder pretty fast and God blesses you with resources and you become very, very, very wealthy. When you win prizes for all the things you've accomplished, and maybe someday you're writing an acceptance speech for a Nobel Peace Prize. I hope you do better than that. I hope it's accurate. And maybe you have some fun in life, and eventually one day when you're at the end of your life and you know you've had it so good, remember, you are the light. Or maybe things go terribly for you. You end up working for someone who doesn't understand you, they can't see your potential, and you spend your life going from job to job. You are the light. Can you remember that when you meet an amazing person you want to spend the rest of your life with, and you do get to spend the rest of your life with that person, loving and being loved, sensing that you are with your soulmate, and on your 50th or 60th or 70th, or 80th anniversary, if Jesus does not return to the earth and Loma Linda figures out how to keep us alive for a long time. You look at each other and you know you are the light. when you're getting older and you can't find somebody to spend the rest of your life with, and your available pool gets smaller and a little murky. Find someone in college. That's my advice to everyone. After college, it gets really murky. Or maybe you go through painful breakups and they leave scars, and one day your marriage ends in divorce like half of them do, and you sit alone in some room contemplating it all, and although you have a trillion friends on the Snapface Gram, I made that word up, and plenty of dopamine-releasing likes on every picture you post, you still feel alone because you have very few people who understand you or know what you're actually going through. Remember, you are the light. Remember that when your body is aging, you look good now. You look in the mirror every morning and you see God's amazing handiwork. You're a gorgeous hunk of human pulchritude. That's three syllables, Mr. Brindle. Pulchritude. When you can say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, but sometime in the future, you'll be mostly fearfully made. And you look in the mirror and there's hair growing out of all parts except for where they're supposed to grow from. Or maybe you're one of the 1.4 million new cases of cancer every year in this country. Or when you're burying a loved one and you find yourself crying out to God, why, this doesn't make sense. If we're the light, remember, you are the light. And how come you let these things happen? You are the light. And when you have more questions than you have answers, remember, Jesus said, you are the light. You are the light. When you make mistakes and you are to blame and you have to carry the weight of consequences and people around you remind you constantly of it, because that's what we do. We humans like to remind each other of our faults. Remember, you are the light. You're not becoming the light. There's no steps to becoming the light. You are already the light. Jesus said this to messed up people who had made many mistakes and were making mistakes. You're the light when things are going your way and life is good, and you're the light when things are not going your way and you're not meeting any of your goals. And when you're on plan B for your life, or plan C, or plan D, or plan Z for your life, you are the light. And God loves you. Can you remember the class of 2018? The church that you're part of, many of you, will disappoint you. But remember that when you go to some church and a well-meaning person at church condemns you to the fires of hell for the way you dress, for the way you eat, because you thought that getting involved in playing this crazy music up front, heaven kissing earth, what does that even mean? And people talk to you that way because they don't understand that you're singing from the bottom of your soul, or because you thought painting the youth room a different color was a good idea, or when you decide to your church is going astray because it's too liberal, they're not drinking coffee, and maybe that stuff on the pizza is pepperoni. Or when the church disappoints you because they won't address the real needs of your community, when you feel tempted to walk away, remember, you are the light. You are the church. When you feel tempted to just say the church is full of mean, hypocritical people, don't get anything I say, you are the light. When you have legitimate doubt, and you know that doubt is prohibited in the church that you attend, and it's hard to begin honest conversations with people about the things you're struggling with, remember, you are the light, and God loves you. You are the light of the world, but you're not the source of light. And this is my third and final point. You are the light of the world. This is my other pastor point, not parent point. But you're not the source of light. The source is Jesus. And he's not a great truth. He's not a great message. He's not a great movement. He's a person. And he is the source of light. And real joy in your life will only be found in serving him. Out of an enraptured heart that has been captivated by his beauty and his love. He is the source of light. You're merely reflectors of that light. And one day, if you lose your way, like many of you will and some of us have, remember, He is the light. Lift your eyes to the light and follow it, and He will lead you home. I want to leave you with one story that Jesus told, a story I've told many times and a story that's been told for 2,000 years, a story that I hope becomes true for you. If one day you come to your spiritual parents, your spiritual home, and you say to them, give me my inheritance, or in your case, give me whatever you've saved up for me to go to college with. I'm taking it to Vegas or wherever great sin is committed. Norco. Or Corona. Or Wildomar. That sounds sinful. Wildomar. Or Rancho Cucamonga. The place of giant roaches. And you live there wildly and wastefully, and you deplete all your resources, and you run up your credit cards, and one day you find yourself homeless. And the only job you can find is with some farmer. You move out to Blythe or some other godforsaken place. If you're from Blythe, I apologize to you and the Chamber of Commerce of Blythe. I'm sure it's a very nice place, but it's the one place I can think of that sounds far in the middle of nowhere and awful. Blythe. And you're out there in Blythe feeding pigs. And you're not allowed to eat the pig food because it's not for you, it's for the pigs. Although you may have eaten pig today with the little gummy worms. And one day you look at the pig food and you think, well, that looks pretty good. Because that's how you would say something looks good. But you're not allowed to touch this food because it's not yours. And you, at that moment, you decide, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home. And like the prodigal son in that story that Jesus tells, you sit down to write a little note, a little speech to your father. And you say, Father, if you take me back, I will be like one of your servants. I'll eat out there with the servants. You can treat me like that. Put the note aside. Like Jesus said, you don't need that note. You know why? Because you are not God's child because you're worthy of it. You're God's child by birth. You're part of the human family. You are not the light because you did something correct or because you are worthy of it. You're the light because Jesus declared you the light. You are the light. On that day, if you're lost somewhere, hear the words of Jesus. A zebra can't change its stripes. You are who you are. You can break God's heart, but you can always come home. You can always come home. And when you come home, God will run to you. Your heavenly Father, if your earthly father has failed you, your heavenly one will never fail you. And this heavenly Father will run to you and will give you his clothes, and there will be a party. And I mean a party. This is not in my letter, but let me describe this party. It's gonna be a party with a DJ. Yeah, like that. Some of you are like, whoa, should I wear dancing shoes? Yes, you will wear dancing shoes. They'll be dancing. Scandalous people, yes. Send me the emails. I'll answer every email you send me. At Anthony Leiter. At LaSierra.edu. We're gonna get down. Right, Anthony, do you have some of these moves that I'm doing right now? You do not. Those are special. We're gonna dance, and then we're gonna eat food that's expensive and out of season. Mangoes flown from Chile. Some of that expensive Loma Linda chili food. Those are $5 a can. I'll make haystacks. Avocado, half an avocado for every person. Don't skimp on the avocado, Chipotle. Don't do that. And we're gonna get ingredients you haven't even heard of to put on that. Wow. And we're all partying, we're all eating the haystacks, and we're all dancing, and everyone's dressed real nice, because you're home, someone will walk by, because they always do, and they're going to say, what's up with that person? They get to just come back home like that, because that's how we are. We don't like it when it's really easy for people to come home, but the Father welcomes you no matter where you've been, what you've done. Why? Because you are the light. And they're going to ask questions like, well, what are they dancing about? Did he win a championship? No. Did that person get promoted? No. Did they win the Nobel Peace Prize? No. Did they get some kind of performance award at work? Did their portfolio grow? No. The only reason to always dance is because you can be sure the Father loves you. The Father loves you, and nothing can separate you from that. Jesus, the Son, called you the light. He said, you are already the light. He said, you are already the salt. He said, you are already all the things that I want in you. Go into the world confident that his love for you will never change. God bless you. Sincerely, Sam Lenore.